Just over a week ago, we said goodbye to a very dear friend and a mighty man of God, Peter Hardy. Some of you might know Peter, some of you might have never met him. I'm very sorry if that's the case, but for those of you who did, he was a fantastic guy. Pete was one of the leadership team at Poplars, and they describe themselves as part of the church in Worksop, not a church in Worksop. It's Poplars, part of the church in Worksop. And going to a funeral, it really puts focus on a person's life, doesn't it? It's almost like getting a magnifying glass out, and it's just enlarged. And their life is summarized, or we make an effort to summarize their life. What was it all about? What were they all about? And it can cause us, as we go to funerals, to consider our life as well. What's life all about? What's it all about? And one of Pete's well-known phrases and one of his well-rehearsed phrases was, there must be more than this. There must be more than this. He said it as a young child in desperation. But he said it as an adult and as a church leader, knowing the truth of God. There must be more than this. And undoubtedly, Pete was a man of devout faith. And he personified relationship with Christ. He really did. Rather than the blight of simply being religious, he personified what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. He knew what it was to know Christ personally. And not only that, but to make him known in a personal way. Through every contact he had with each and every person who crossed his path, it's something he did. It was just a natural reality. That relationship. Pete was authentic. He was authentic in his love and his life. And both of which were always directed towards others. It was just every time you met him, his love and his life was just to those around. And when you stood in front of Pete, when you spoke with Pete, you knew you had his undivided attention. You knew it. You knew he was interested in you. It wasn't platitudes. It wasn't superficial. Another of Pete's well-known and well-used phrases was, God not only loves you, God likes you. God likes you. He genuinely likes you. And another thing he used to say is, God thinks you're stunning. You're stunning. He looks at you and God thinks you are stunning. And Pete was committed to ensuring that people knew the truth of what God thinks of them. Just how much God cares for each and every person. He was committed to letting every individual know. And he took every available opportunity to do that. Amazing guy. And you know, Pete fully believed in the power of God to heal. Fully believed in God's healing. And many of us, together with Pete and his family, were praying for Pete to be healed. Over the past 2 years as he fought the battle against cancer, we believed for and we prayed for healing. But you know, Pete had so much more to give to the kingdom of God. He really did. He had so much more life to live. He had so much more love to live into the lives of his family and those he loved and the people around us. 5 minutes before he died, Pete was praying for the guy in the bed beside him. He was praying with this guy in the bed. 5 minutes before he went to glory. It seemed good to us that Pete be healed. It seemed right that Pete be healed. We believed for Pete to be healed. Because it just made sense. And yet God had other plans. God had other plans. And while it was difficult to understand, and very often it's difficult to accept, God's plans are always better than what we think is best. God's plans are always better than what we think is best. Even when we don't get it. It's a funny thing, you know, and I hadn't, you know, I'd heard Pete had died, I hadn't put a lot of thought towards it, and on the morning of Pete's funeral, I woke unusually early. My alarm was set for 6 o'clock. Some of you think that's early, I do. I woke way ahead of that, unusually in the middle of the night. I usually grasp every bit of sleep I can get. But I woke up, and as I lay there, considering the day ahead, I was really surprised. Really, really surprised just how much Pete was on my mind. And how emotional I was getting. It wasn't like me. You know, I know Pete has saved. I know he's gone to glory. But I was deeply saddened when I thought of a world without him in it. I was deeply saddened when I thought of the family and the people who know him and depend on him. And just the idea of him not being around anymore, it deeply saddened me. I'm saddened now as I think of it. You know, he'd impacted on my life and so many others. And I started talking to God about it as I lay there, not sleeping. I was, you know, God, why would you take such a central person to the work of your kingdom in this place? Why would you take him out of our lives? Why would you take him out of the 20-odd schools that he used to go into and minister to the pupils and the teachers? Why would you take him out of a church where new, younger leadership is growing up and they need his mentoring and they need his guidance and his experience? Why would you take him out of a family where his love for his wife and his children and his grandchildren brought so much to enrich them? Out of the friendships and the encouragement that he was to so many, including me. It just didn't make sense. Why, God, this mighty warrior, this great man of prayer, this man of faith, this man of authentic love in your kingdom, why would you take him out at this time? The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And an explanation came to me, or an answer came to me in a bit of an unexpected way later that morning. It wasn't fair, really, but I had to be in Mansfield for 7:45 to attend a motorway awareness course. I know. You've heard that I've been on the speed awareness course before, and you can't repeat them within 3 years. And I had to be there. It started at 8 o'clock. And I was really surprised, actually, to be given this opportunity, because I thought there's no way. I've fairly recently done a speed awareness course. And I questioned on my ticket why I was getting it, and they sent me the option to do this motorway awareness course. I'd received what was in my mind a completely unjustified speeding ticket. Totally unfair. I was doing 69 miles an hour on the motorway, where the speed is 70. I was one below the speed limit. I was with my family doing something over the half-term break that was bringing us together. It was an effort to, you know, spend the day together. We're heading down to London. And with the family in the car, I drive safer when they're in the car. I have more attention to what's going on around me. Probably I shouldn't, but I do. I do less dangerous things, I suppose, when the family are in the car. So I was driving with care. It was early in the morning. The traffic wasn't particularly heavy. There was no apparent reason to be going any slower. And I was going with the flow of the traffic, as you do. You know, generally it's a good gauge for where you should be travelling. And then suddenly there was one of these electronic notice boards, you know, with the red circle and the speed limit in the middle, and it said 60 miles an hour. 60. The road was travelling. You know, there was no need, really. And we were being told the speed was 60 miles an hour. So we slowed. You know, traffic slowed, and we slowed down to 60. And it was one of those variable speed limits, you know, they can go up or down or whatever. And from time to time you see them. And I, with everyone else, slowed down. And then a short while later, the variable speed limit disappeared. And we were back up to the natural 70 miles an hour speed limit. But in that time, I'd passed a sign that said 60, and I was travelling 79, and the camera caught me and I got a fine. That's unfair, isn't it? Aren't you on my side with this? It's totally, to my mind, for all the world, that was a speed trap. That's all it was. They're just trying to make money out of unsuspecting motorists. And I was none too pleased about having to go to this course. But it was that or get points and my insurance premium go up again. And I didn't want that. And I was particularly aggrieved because it landed. I'd booked it weeks in advance. But it landed on the day of Pete's funeral. And the course was from 8 to 11.30. And Pete's funeral started at 11.30 in Worksop and I was in Mansfield. You can imagine what I did after the course, but forget that. I even asked, I said to them, guys, is it okay if I nip out 15 minutes early? I explained the circumstances quietly at the back and they said, no, we're legally obliged to keep you here till 11.30. And they laboured the course. They could have been done in an hour, but they laboured it. They went over points again and again. There was no rational reason for why we should have had to slow down. It didn't make any sense to me. Why? As far as I was aware, I was travelling at a reasonable speed. I was going with the flow. I saw the 60 mile an hour speed sign, but I didn't respond soon enough to it. And as a result, I drove straight into a penalty. So unfair. I got the speeding fine. So anyway, there you go. I went to this speeding course. And I was thinking as I sat down with everyone else in the room, it's not fair. As far as I could see, this was an unfair and unnecessary incident. As far as I could see, I hadn't done anything wrong. As far as I could see, it made no sense. Why had the speed limit suddenly dropped from 70 to 60 for no apparent reason? As far as I could see. You see, that was the problem. It was as far as I could see. My vision was limited to the extent of my vision. The reason, in my mind, was limited to what I could see around me. And this course was amazing. We learned all about smart motorways. Has anyone else been on the motorway awareness course? Hey, we've got another one. I learned an awful lot about smart motorways. They're very smart. They're connected to a network of cameras. And I kind of had visions of people sitting watching these cameras, but no, they're automatic. And these cameras all along the motorway, that gives an advantage that we as individual travellers don't have. We don't have the advantage of seeing what they can see. And they can see what's coming further down the road. And they automatically take steps to avert problems ahead. They automatically take steps to change things to ensure we reach our destination as safely and as swiftly as possible. That's why they're there. Smart motorways, they automatically regulate the flow of traffic for a number of reasons, some of which I'd never even conceived or perceived before. Can you imagine why they might lower the speed? Any ideas?
Crash.
Could be a crash. Could have been a collision further ahead that I haven't seen. Any other reasons?
Avoid congestion.
To avoid congestion. There are things called phantom traffic jams. Do you ever get stuck suddenly in a motorway and there doesn't seem to be any reason and all the traffic backs up and then it goes again? They're phantom traffic jams. Somebody breaks or changes lanes and people break and it ripples back. And it costs the country billions of pounds. And it delays people for all sorts of things. Yeah, there's all these reasons. I was thinking about it. I thought, wow, these phantom traffic jams, there was roadworks, collisions, maybe debris on the road, animals on the road.
Oil
could be, yeah, something. Here's one I hadn't even thought of. Reducing air pollution. Because the slower you go, the less pollution you kick out. And in schools around junctions of the motorway, kids have unnecessarily high asthma incidents. And so sometimes during rush hour, the speed reduces to 50 around junctions where there are schools to reduce the air pollution. And if you're driving down that road, you'd have no idea that you just think, why am I being slowed down here? What is the point? Sometimes a lane is closed and we're forced to move into a different lane unexpectedly. And as far as we can see, there's nothing blocking the way. But you know, if there's a red X above the lane and you drive under it, Straight away, no grace. Fine. Just as a warning to you. Even if there's nothing ahead of you and you drive down that lane, it's closed. You can't go in.
Did you manage that one as well?
No, not yet.
Are you going to try it?
Maybe. But, you know, there's a consequence, isn't there, to not reading the sign and not obeying the sign. And that's what I had. I was sitting there. So there's a bigger picture. There was a bigger picture on that morning that I couldn't see. And while there seemed no reason for slowing down, ironically, it more than likely got me to my destination earlier. That management of the speed of the motorway, even though it's slowing you down, probably gets you there quicker because it avoids one of those phantom traffic jams or whatever else. Maybe it prevented me from getting caught up in an unnecessary delay. Maybe even prevented me from having a nasty collision. You see, sometimes there's a reason for slowing down. Sometimes there's a reason for changing lane or changing direction. I still don't know why, to this day, why I was slowed to 60 miles an hour that day. I've no idea. It'll be one of those reasons. Because we slowed and we sped up again. Everything just sort of slowed down. Sometimes it comes to a complete stop when it needs to. And you can't see what's ahead. But then it starts up again. But one thing I do know, there was very likely a really good reason for it. And there was a vision beyond my vision that it made sense to. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. We can only see as far as we can see. And while there will be no apparent explanation for some things that happen, for a change of pace or a change in lanes or a change in direction, there's a bigger picture. God can see what's coming further down the road. That's not particularly deep, and that's not particularly new as a concept for us as Christians. God can see what's coming further down the road. We know that, don't we? But that's a truth we must never, ever lose sight of. It's a sight, you know, God sees the bigger picture. And when we give our lives to him, we effectively put him in the driving seat. We say, God, I'm giving you control of my life. I want you to steer me. I want you to direct me. I want you to show me where to go, what speed to go. But very often we have better ideas than him, don't we? We think it's best that things happen the way we want them to. But he has a bigger picture. We've given him permission to take us where he knows is best for us. The destination that he has planned for us. And God takes us there at the right speed. Because he knows what's coming further down the road. The truth is, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we need to follow his lead to discover and fulfill that purpose. We need to be attentive to the signs. When Pete Hardy went home, he created a vacuum, or a vacuum was created. And that was something that I think I was just aware of as I lay in bed that morning. What a vacuum. What a vacuum has been created. And as obvious as it seems, sometimes you need to create a vacuum to fill a vacuum. For a vacuum to be filled, it needs to be created in the first place, doesn't it? Pete had done his time, and now he's enjoying his reward. He's with his Saviour, who he loved. He's in heaven. He'll be partying, I've no doubt about it. He'll be going around telling everyone they're stunning. And God will be telling him, "You're stunning. Well done." And I look forward to seeing how God's going to fill the vacuum that's been left. But one thing I know for certain, God sees the road ahead. He sees and perceives what's coming. He knows when we need to put the brakes on. He knows when we need to avoid a collision. That's a fairly simple message, isn't it? There's a bigger picture. God knows. He's got vision we haven't got. We can only see as far as we can see. Even though it may be frustrating for us. Even though it might be tempting to rush ahead. God knows, and he sometimes instructs us, slow down, change lane, or even stop. Stop in your tracks. But there's a reason. There is a reason. Even when we can't see it, we know he does. We know he sees it. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse so many of us know and love, isn't it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And this is in the context of knowing that God likes you. God likes you. Another of Pete's anecdotes that he used to tell was how so many of us seem to be holding a stick. And we use this stick to beat ourselves for how we've failed. We use this stick to beat ourselves up when we feel we should be doing better, but we're not. And we've done the same mistakes again and again. But God didn't put that stick in our hands. That's something we've picked up along the way. And he looks at us, he said, put that down. That's not yours. Put that stick down. Stop beating yourself up. Walk into the deep grace and embrace of your loving Father, who looks into your face and he says, my dear, dear child, I know the plans I have for you. They're far better than any plans that you have. I've plans to prosper you in ways you can't even imagine. I've plans to give you hope in your hopelessness. I've plans for your future. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. Jesus died to give us more than this. That's why we're here this morning. He died to give us more than this. He took hold of us so that we might take hold of the life that he has prepared for us. And yet sometimes we sit there in the traffic jam thinking, why am I here? What's the point of this? Why am I moving faster? God has a purpose for each one of us as individuals. And God has a purpose for each one of us as a family, collectively as a church. God has a purpose for Works Up Christian Centre. God has a purpose for the church in Works Up. And we need to look to God. We need to be looking to him to discover our individual purpose. And we need to look to him to discover our collective calling from God. What are you passionate about? What excites you? Either now or before in your life in the past, there's something that excites you. There's something you love. There's something that when you do it, you just know it's a God-given passion. Pursue the God-given desires of your heart. I'm not saying go crazy and just run off and do stuff that you enjoy doing that you know is sinful. Obviously not. But God has put something in your heart. God has planted something in you that you are passionate about. A desire, something that gives you joy, something that fills you with happiness when you think, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's what I'm here for. As I sat in the funeral, which I did get to, a little bit late, but it went on longer than it was meant to, and I thought it probably would. It was amazing. And I listened to Pete singing out over the microphone in his band from back in the 70s or whenever, singing songs of hope and truth and life. And then they carried him out in a coffin and popped him into a sidecar and a motorbike. A big coffin sidecar and drove off. And it was just a great celebration of life and joy. And just everything about it was just such a testimony to what it means to be in relationship with God. And that guy knew his purpose. And he knew there was so much more than this. And I'm just so happy that we can reflect and think, yeah, let's try and live by that example. Let's think each person in front of us. What do they receive from us? All the stuff I've learned from Pete, I want to share with others. He's one person who God put in my path. And you're one person who God is putting in the path of so many others. And we have so much to give. And we've so much to receive from each other. There's much more than this. So much more. Let's be hungry for the life that Jesus has for us. Jesus, our Creator. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our King. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our Provider. Jesus our life. Jesus our purpose for life. And our purpose for living. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate the purpose he's given us. God, I look to you and I consider the God of all creation, the God who created everything and everyone, who spoke and light happened and life happened, and your power, your majesty, your awesomeness is so beyond my simple ability to understand. And yet you, God, came as a man. Jesus, you came to us here to say, I have a purpose for you. Since the beginning of time, I wanted to restore you into relationship with me, to live out a purpose. And Father God, I pray for each and every person here this morning, each and every person associated with our church here, that we would know your purpose for ourselves as individuals and as ourselves as a family of God. That we would realize that you see what's ahead, that we don't have to know it all. We just have to trust. We just have to read the signs and obey. And Father, we come to celebrate the sacrifice you made for us to have that life. Jesus, we come to remember you giving up everything. You gave it up for me. You gave it up for each and every one of us because of your love for us, because you like us, because you think we're stunning. So we come to celebrate and we thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Let us not be satisfied to just accept this and say this is as good as it gets, because we know there's so much more than this. Father, place a passion in our heart to know you more. Place a passion in our heart to live for you more. And Lord, as we come to the collisions and the delays and the changes of direction in life, let us just be assured and confident that you see ahead. And you got us. You've got us and you know where you're taking us. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen.